Today on Real Radio.
Look at modern day religion in various ways, and you can go to ancient Babylonianism, and you will see exact parallels, not only in dress, in action, but in the actual doctrine.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're coming to the end of our series called Living in the Days of Deception. Days is spelled D-A-Z-E in this case. It's taken from the opening verses of chapter 4 in 1 John. Now, in this final presentation, Pastor Jack is pretty much guaranteed to be stepping on some toes because he's dealing with Babylon. Of course, there is ancient Babylon, but there's also modern Babylon, as we'll see in this lesson called The Roman Road to Babylon. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Babylon that is given great detail in the Bible of its new geographical location, because what it does in the New Testament and in the end times is that it takes the geographical location that it once had, relocates it to another position, but also combines the spirit of Babylon, and it culminates in one key end time place, and that is right off the Mediterranean, very, very clearly referred to in Scripture. There in the last days, that the Antichrist will be very connected with this place called Babylon or Mystery Babylon, which is the spirit of all that's taking place. So we're living in some incredible times. I think as we look at this tonight, then I believe that we'll see that we need to be more on guard than ever before. And I know that where I'm going right now is going to be difficult for some of us. And I guess just keep those cards and letters coming in. The first thing that we'll see tonight is this. Concerning the deception of the rise of Babylon, the first thing that we'll see tonight is that Babylon's ancient beginnings, and we'll look at that in a moment. Babylon's ancient beginnings. It's important that we know this. Secondly, we'll see Babylon's source of power. That's very interesting, and I have to confess that in the brief moments that we have together, we're only going to scratch on this. I hope that provokes you to deeper study. Thirdly, tonight we'll see Babylon's second coming. And tonight you are living at the time of what I believe is Babylon's second coming. Before we jump into our first point this evening, know this, that to the nation Israel, Babylon was an archenemy. To the New Testament church, Babylon is an archenemy, yes, but predominantly in the spirit realm. And God's people of old were not exempt, neither shall we be exempt. But as we read in John, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. So let's look at our first point this evening, and that is Babylon's ancient beginnings. The first off thing that we look at is Babylonia, the very region. What's it all about? Well, we know this. It's somewhere around 5,000 plus years old right now. This Babylonia, this region. We know from the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar had his palace in Shushan, which is in the Valley of Shinar, which was the headquarters or the base of Babylon or the Babylonian kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was the great ruler and leader of that realm. And so we know that from Scripture. But where does the Bible first point out to us regarding Babylon? And it just so happens that it comes in to our Bibles in Genesis chapter 10. You can turn there if you like, Genesis 10, beginning at verse 8. And it's the founding of a city, the founding of the city Babylon. By the way, I really encourage you to do more study on this. You can go online to National Geographic of all things, and you can get a lot of neat data about archaeological digs concerning Babylon. Great stuff. Going way back, some 5,000 years ago, Genesis chapter 10, beginning at verse 8, it says that Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be mighty on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That's the root to it all, in the land of Shinar. So Babylon first appears in this area of Shinar, and Nimrod has this location of Babel. But notice what it says in Genesis 10. It says that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. What's interesting in the Hebrew is that what's implied. Are you ready for this? This is why a lot of people attribute Nimrod to being a type of the Antichrist. In Hebrew, it suggests that Nimrod was a hunter of men's souls. When it says that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, it doesn't mean that he went out and shot rabbits. That this man had a bloodthirst for the souls of men. I don't mean men, mankind. He was a despot ruler. He was a very corrupt man. The mystique that surrounds his life is extremely bizarre. Again, you can go to various even encyclopedias and many biblical books and read about Nimrod. One of the books I think every Christian should have on Genesis is The Genesis Record by Dr. Morris. It's a fantastic book. He talks much about this guy. Nimrod is a very weird man. But one of the things that he wanted to do was to erect a city. And from the city, Nimrod is going to have an idea to build a temple. More on that in a moment. Something we need to keep in mind, that at this time, from Nimrod on, there is this movement in the Bible for a man, this man here, to create a cityhood and a priesthood, that the state and the church were one. When I say church, don't take that in the context that you know. I'm talking about ancient religious worship and practices. Nimrod took that, and he took the creation of a state, because he's going to build a city, and that's what's going to become of it, is this region. He's going to take geographical and political means, and he's going to bring it into wedlock, so to speak, the religious practices. That's why I said church and state, because you'd never bring those two together today, would you? And he is going to try to create a utopia on earth. This is one of Nimrod's passions. That's why he's also, as I said, considered a type of the Antichrist. In Genesis 11:1, it says he, or the whole earth, that is, had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, this is Nimrod and his guys, that they found on the plain of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said to one another, come, here you go, number one, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they made asphalt for mortar. It's interesting, but asphalt, this implies that they had oil or tar. And does that area have oil or tar today, or what? Isn't that amazing? And they said, verse 4, come, let us build ourselves a city. And you might say, well, that sounds harmless. Well, in a moment, you're going to see their motives. You know, the motives to what a person's doing is everything. Their motive is everything. Are they doing it for others? Are they doing it for themselves? Or have the others and themselves gotten together to pull something off? And in this case, it's Nimrod against God. So he's gathering these guys together, and he's got a purpose. He's going to erect the city in the area of Shinar. Babel is the city, and that city is going to have what you and I call a tower, but it is more than a tower. Genesis 11:4, he's going to build a temple. It says, and a tower whose top, he says, is into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Really? Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see that city and that tower, which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over all the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. That's great. But God says something here that's interesting. They speak one language, their heart's wrong. Remember, God said that after the flood, remember? Or just before the flood. And the flood was before this. He says, you know what? Their hearts are absolutely wicked continuously. And here's a bad combo. A wicked heart with some people around that heart are sharing the same heart, conversing together with perfect communication. I've mentioned to you this before. I had a chance to see it with my own eyes, but I was in an airport in Frankfurt, Germany, and I believe I saw it again in Belgium, there in Amsterdam, and they had this big banner with the 12 stars of the European Union up there, and they had a Tower of Babel there. And one company was AT&T, and the other company was IBM. They both had different banners. And they had the Tower of Babel, and one of the companies said, never again. Never again what? Never again man unable to communicate with each other. And you say, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Everything. We are now able to communicate more globally now, one-on-one, than ever before since Babel. They believe in it so much, they hang the banners from the airport in Frankfurt. Let's build a tower and we'll declare never again. Listen, are you catching on? In defiance to God's decree. Why? Because men's hearts are evil. And if they can communicate perfectly together, what do they communicate perfectly together about? Changing the world, making it a happier place? No, who can make the most money off this deal? How many people do we have to crush, exploit, and kill to get to the bottom line? Come on! Men's hearts are wicked. And that's where the world is going. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said concerning his return, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Wow! Technology is bringing it in. Am I anti-technology? I love technology. I think it's fantastic if it's used for the right stuff. So they're going to build a tower. I want you to look at something here. This is kind of a neat thing. Anybody in here, which I haven't, but I read a little couple of books, anybody who had like architectural design or anything like that, this is called a ziggurat. And though this is an artist rendering, what's awesome about it is there have been ziggurats found not only down in Central America, but predominantly throughout the Middle East and in the area of Shinar, in the area of Babylon. And they were not only fantastic buildings, they were huge, and they were used for temples of worship. They were used to communicate with the gods. That's why it says in Genesis that Nimrod went up to the top of the tower, or is believed that he went to the top of the tower because he's a hunter, as it says, before the Lord. And remember, his whole motive was to shoot God down out of the heavens. He was going to attack a god and bring God down to men. And so he builds this tower, they say, to reach the heavens. Why did they want it to reach the heavens? He had an agenda. And that agenda was not only to erect a civilization, but also a religion. Babylonianism, which is absolutely, unbelievably alive today. So much so that there are things, hear me out, and you know, afterwards, if you ask me, I'm just going to ask you to go to some books. But if you are open to further study on this, you can look at modern day religion in various ways, and you can go to ancient Babylonianism. And you will see exact parallels, not only in dress, in action, but in the actual doctrine. And what is so amazing, you guys, is that you would think, no, this cannot be. There is just no way that, say, this belief system could be 5,000 years old, and yet you may drive by it every day. You may drive by that place, or you may be very associated with that type of worship system. Now, I know it's mean for me to say it out like that. If you're interested, contact me later about it, because I don't want to hurt anybody here who may just be coming out of it, out of a false area of worship, and derail them while they're right in the middle of the Lord working in their lives. But let me ask you something. Is what you're doing rooted in the Bible? Is what you're believing biblical? Can Scripture be pointed to and you say, that's what I'm doing, or this is what my worship is based upon? Let him who have ears to hear, hear. It's so critical. The ziggurats, these places of worship, it was believed by many of the Babylonian times, listen to this, that they were designed by ancient gods that traveled the heavens in search of worship or worshipers, the ziggurats. They believed that they were stairways or staircases into heaven. They believed that they were to have a presiding priest, that he was to conduct the incantations and the worships and all of these things that are associated with the liturgical practice to bring about men's encounter with this god or gods. And the very procession that took earthlings into this type of a setting is alive today, very, very much so. And so it's rather unsettling. I'm going to give you something here that is going to let the cat right out of the bag. Concerning Babylon, you might be saying, well, you know, Jack, I haven't read my Bible much. I've never heard of Babylon in the New Testament. I'm sure it's there in the Old. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. 1 Peter 5, 13, the words are Peter's. And Peter says in his salutation, he says, and to the church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, I salute you. That's 1 Peter 5, 13. To the church that is at Babylon. So you want to ask the question, where's Babylon? Where is that place? It's very important that you ask that question. That's a good question to ask. Wherever it is, Peter's there. We know that Peter, in this epistle of Peter's, 1 Peter, he wrote from a city. And that city went by the name of Babylon and several other names. But you know what the name of the city where Peter wrote this from is called? It's called Rome. Did you know in the New Testament, Rome is called Babylon? Now, by the way, in the book of Revelation, Jerusalem is also called Babylon because of its false worship. But throughout the New Testament, Babylon is referred to as the city of Rome. Now, I don't know, is anybody born in Rome here? Good. I'm glad nobody in here. But Rome... the scriptures speak of over and over again, and you can study it more later. I can give you the books to study this. Rome is definitely associated with the last day affairs in a big way. Well, what's important about this is that in the late 200s and the early 300s AD, this Babylonianism, this worship, that took ancient Babylonian practices and wed them to a church was done under the jurisdiction who he popularized. It was Constantine around 312, 318. And an interesting thing happened. Constantine bred so-called Christianity with Babylonianism. And he decreed that the church was now the state religion. Now listen to me carefully. I am not slamming a certain denomination. Don't get me wrong. Before that denomination was ever created by man, the Church of Jesus Christ was existing since the day of Pentecost. Do you understand that? On the day of Pentecost, the Church of Jesus Christ was born. And it was later that Babylonianism began to creep into the church. What I mean by that is there, for ancient practices, the priest would dress up, for example, Dagon, the priest for Dagon, and Marduk and other pagan gods, Remphan and others. Various priests representing these gods would dress up in the apparel of those ancient practices. You can get books on this. You can look for yourself. They would have certain things that would assist them in their worship. Those things are still visible today. Still today. You might want to say, well, maybe the meaning's been changed. Maybe. Or maybe Babylonianism is still alive. To know that, you'd have to look at the doctrine. To know that, you'd have to take a closer look. Not just on the outward appearance of things. Very, very important. Peter says, hey, to the church that is at Babylon, I greet you. And we know that Peter wrote this from Rome, but that's not the only reason. Let's consider this. Our second point is going to help us answer these questions. Babylon's source of power. It's not only rooted in the ancient beginnings of its demonic past, but it has a great power. And we'll talk about this right now. In that Babylonianism has a way of manipulating people. Babylonianism has a way of manipulating people. In the Babylonian worship, the religious leaders had complete control over the masses. The people were not encouraged to know their Bibles, for example. The masses were controlled by the religious hierarchy. What to wear, what to say, what to do. Listen, literally how to think. Did you know that during the 16th, 17th, and 1800s, as late as the 1800s, you were not allowed to think certain things, and that thought come out of your mouth in Europe, or else you would die at the stake. You would die at the stake. Take a look on your Bible. Maybe you've got a Tyndale Bible. If you have a Tyndale Bible, did you know that William Tyndale died because he said what he thought? Did you know that? By the way, thank God for William Tyndale and Wycliffe and others, because they said what they thought and it cost them their lives, but in your lap is a Bible. Praise the Lord, huh? They believe that you ought to have a Bible. It cost them their lives. You know, we look at our Bible and say, I don't think I'll read it today. When a lot of men and women died for you to have your Bible, they couldn't share what they thought. If you had any other concept or understanding about the Bible that wasn't in agreement with the dominating system of these leaders, you are often killed as a heretic. And just a very, very horrible past, and quite frankly, nothing Christian about it. When people say today, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, I don't want anything to do with the church, I know what the past is all about, I have to hang my head and agree with them. I have to hang my head in agreement. The past, under the guise of Christianity, is terrible. I mean, you look at the Crusades. Have you read about the Crusades? Horrible. God had to have wept. The Inquisition. Horrible. All of these things. Terrible. Babylon's source of power is manipulating the masses, controlling the masses. It's ancient. It's been going on, well documented, since the late 200s. But under Constantine's rule, the state and the church became one, and so-called Christianity became the religion of the world. It was legalized. If you were not a Christian, you died. How do you like that? That's horrible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Roman Road to Babylon. It's part of a mini-series taken from the opening verses of 1 John chapter 4. We call it Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this entire series has been available through Real Radio for quite some time now, but for now, we're making Living in the Days of Deception available for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. You should really get your hands on this. Again, the offer, we'll send you Pastor Jack's series, Living in the Days of Deception, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Just ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception. It's been a great series, and we hope you'll take advantage of this great opportunity. Call, click, or write. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or call us if you'd like to talk to somebody nice. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception, Pastor Jack's series on MP3 CD. You're going to like it. And of course, all of our links and contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.